it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is a Thursday morning. Appreciate you being along and waking up with us. Coming up in the next 3 hours, and in this hour, we'll get you going with playoff baseball. Blue Jays suddenly with a series against the Mariners after their big win last night. In 20 minutes, we will ease into the National Football League with the Jags trying to generate more offense, along with our power rankings. Thursday night football tonight, Bengals. Steelers going at it, and then our buddy Chris Mack is along during the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. One more step closer to the weekend. Here we are. Good morning, Chelsea.
And one more step underwater, Jenks. We have our work cut out for us this weekend when it comes to betting. My goodness. Normally, baseball like saves our bacon, but the bacon has all been stolen from us. We need our bacon back.
Bacon is nice and soggy this week. Do you like your bacon soft and soggy and undercooked? That's the equivalent of our bats. Oh, do you? No, you don't.
I like soft bacon.
Oh, Chelsea, worst take on the planet. You like soft bacon? Crispy bacon.
I don't like it overcooked, though. Like, I don't want it to have, like, black, like, char on it. It depends on what I'm having it on, but I don't really like the super crispy bacon.
Oh, soft. Is anyone here a soft bacon fan?
Me.
Dead silence.
I don't mind a little bit of fat on the bacon.
I like a little fat.
Yeah, I like a little bit
like
of fat.
Fat.
So the soft. Wait. Okay. So soft. Like I like because fat has the flavor. So soft, non-fat bacon is where we're going today.
Well, I like some fat, not all fat. Like, I'm not sitting there gnawing on the white parts.
Straight fat.
I don't know. Straight fat.
Straight fat.
But that's...
I don't like the bacon. I just like the fat. Foods.
I mean, that's probably a food in the South. Jenks, you know how the South is.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, here's bacon fat. Here's fat back. And you're like, what? Yeah. Is this a parody? Thanks. And they're like, no, we're selling this at Buc-ee's.
You're probably right. I mean, you are right. Not even probably. You see that everywhere. They're not wasting a thing. I'll just eat bacon all the time. Dylan said in the chat, he's right. It's always soft at the buffet at events. It's like, I'll eat it. It's still delicious. It's bacon, for God's sakes. I just prefer mine a little crispier. But I get it. Now I'm starving, and I'm hungry for breakfast. And also, I don't think you guys can hear it, but D-Day and I are dying right now. We walked into the building, and they have had a fire alarm test now for, what is this going on, 20 minutes?
It has been going on for 25 minutes.
Oh, my God. So not only are we hearing, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? There is a fire in the building. There is a fire in the building. Do not use the elevator. Do not use the elevator. Of course I use the elevator. I was told downstairs it's a test. This test has been going on forever. So we've got the door closed. You can't hear anything, but these flashing lights are giving me a headache. I mean, they're coming through the windows here. Oh, my God. Anyway, glad you're home. Give me some bacon.
If the fire alarm is going off anyway, can you DoorDash a Foreman grill and make yourself some bacon?
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I like that you went old school with a Foreman grill, too. You know, I remember from those commercials when... I don't know why, but of course, George Foreman, who made hundreds of millions of dollars off this grill, by the way, and, the grease would fall down into the tray, and on the infomercial be like, look at that. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? And it was the grease falling down into the tray. It's gross, but my God, I had a grill. I feel like a lot of people had a Foreman grill. Did you?
I think I did at some point because it's just so easy. Like, if you're not somebody who's super into cooking or if you're transient, Because, like, remember, Jake played baseball for 11 years. So, like, we were split between residences a lot. So I used a lot of these type of devices. So, Jenks, I'm just saying, all you have to do is plug it in, and you got yourself some bacon. Sizzling.
Isn't that pretty? I'm going to start using that. And people are going to be like, I don't know that reference, but it always cracks me up. All right, let's hear about these bets. We'll get through them, and then we'll talk baseball.
Yuck. All right, so we both thought that the Mariners were going to win last night. They did not. In fact, they lost 13-4. I thought the Mariners were sitting pretty in this one. You know, they were playing at home. They had been better in this position. But the Blue Jays bats finally woke up to the tune of 13 runs. So that was a nice, easy loss that I was not sweating. Went to bed early.
I was with you on that. I also had the Blues -117 hosting the Blackhawks because Chicago was terrible. And of course, the Blackhawks with 5 unanswered goals to win 8-3. So sometimes that's just the way it be. Dongster again, Blue Jays money line against the Mariners. So he was on the opposite side of us. That means he's 3-0 this week. I'm 1-4-1, and you are 0-2-1. But we got a couple days left to sort of right the ship here, and that's what we plan on doing. Last night in Seattle, look at the Blue Jays crushing the Mariners 13-4. Blue Jays +110 on the money line. Total set at 7. The over hits. Mariners get off to a perfect start. Bottom of the first, Julio Rodriguez goes deep to make it 2-0 Seattle. But then the hit parade begins for the Blue Jays. Andrés Giménez goes deep as part of a 5-run third inning. It's 5-2 Toronto. And then a playoff veteran comes through in the fourth.
First pitch swinging. This ball's hit in the air to deep center field. And George Springer gets it over the wall for a home run.
Makes it 6-2 Toronto, Springer's 18th career postseason home run. And then after going 0-for-7 in his first two games of the series, a superstar comes alive.
2010, Vlad Jr. sends a high drive to deep center field. Rodriguez, it's gone! First pitch of the fifth, Vlad Jr. launches a solo shot.
Ooh, call courtesy of FS1. He breaks out in a big way. 4 hits, falling a triple short of the cycle. Blue Jays also get home runs from Alejandro Kirk and Addison Barger as Toronto racks up 18 hits, Chelsea, and we have a series in the ALCS.
Oh, absolutely. A power display for the Blue Jays, because I'm looking at some of these home runs. These were not cheapies, because we talked about this game and the handicap saying, okay, Seattle is known as a pitcher's park because the dimensions are long. It's supposed to be cold weather, and so it's difficult for hitters to get it out of the ballpark. But George Springer hit it 431. Vladdy Jr. hit it 406. And if you look at the last home run of the night, Addison Barger hit it 414. So, like, these were not home runs where you're like, oh, well, in any other park, or he hit it to the short porch and left or whatever. No, there were some absolute tank mood shots courtesy of Toronto.
I'm not laughing at you. Just for a hot second, Dylan put up the Vladdy Jr. as a kid shot and just kind of caught me off guard. Here he is now.
I know. I missed it.
So cute. So cute.
Pam.
Oh, I was like, Chelsea. Oh, there he is. Look at that guy.
There's four, that four
night for that kid last night. That kid right there. Unbelievable. I mean, you knew Vladdy Jr. I mean, yeah, sure, he could have gone on a cold streak. But, you know, we talk about this when it comes to Shohei or other stars that are still playing, you know, whose teams are still alive this time of year. And when you're that good and that talented, it's kind of only a matter of time before you break out. Like with Aaron Judge was a perfect example. Hadn't had a lot of success in the postseason, but we're like, the talent's there. Once he gets enough at-bats, he's going to start absolutely raking. He did, and that's what Vladdy Jr. did last night.
Right, especially since last round. It's not like he had a quiet bat. He was big against the Yankees. And even if you zoom out and look on a larger scale, this is kind of what happened with the Blue Jays. Because remember, this was the team that scored 23 runs in the first two games of that series against the Yankees. So, you know, baseball is one of those things where it feels kind of streaky at times, but there is a reason it is a large sample size sport. So you play 7 games in the LCS for a reason, to kind of give both teams a chance to show what they're really made of. So now we have finally seen the Blue Jays bats kind of get back to the level that we thought that they would be at. and more. I did not expect them personally to score 13 runs.
God, I didn't either. And also, we were talking about Shane Bieber handicapping this game yesterday, us handicapping his potential performance, and I think both of us were a little reticent in saying, I just don't know if I trust the guy. But look, the Blue Jays traded for him before the deadline for a reason, and he was great. 2 runs over 6 innings. So it's interesting, too, how some of these acquisitions that teams make to make a playoff run end up coming through. And he could have gotten rattled early, giving up that long ball to Julio Rodriguez. But just like we saw with Yoshi a couple nights ago, where he gives off a leadoff home run, what happens? He calms himself, he locks it in, and he's really good. And Bieber was really good last night.
Absolutely. And because it's a 7-game series, I feel like he had a longer leash. Because if we were talking about, you know, the DS or the wild card round, if you give up 2 runs, you're out of there. You know, the bullpen is coming in and they're saying, okay, we can't let you give up any more hits. But because, you know, this is a 7-game series and they had some faith in their bats, they let it ride. And I feel like this was a huge move to save some of their bullpen. So it was a great move that paid off to keep him in the game. And it was nice to see that he settled down. Apparently, he said to, like, all of his teammates in the dugout, he said, hey, my stuff's actually working pretty well tonight. So if we could get me some runs, that would be wonderful. And what do? They gave him a ton of runs.
I love that story. I'd not heard that. And I think the way I sort of look at it is, and I feel like you'll agree here because you're a baseball gal, is that, you know, even if your stuff is on, I'm sure Jake experienced this, your husband was when he was in the majors, which is sometimes you can have really good stuff and guys just hit a great pitch. It happens. It doesn't mean that you're off. That's just baseball. Just because you give up a couple of early runs doesn't mean, all right, I don't have it today. It's either one bad pitch or, you know what, look, you just tip your cap and you say, you got me on that one. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be effective today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, sometimes it boils down to it was merely one bad pitch, you know, because you look at the first home run was a 2-run bomb, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you can have, you know, 100 great pitches, but if you mess up on 3 of them against a great team, that could be, you know, a lot of damage depending on how many runners you have on base. So I think it's one of those things where the veteran pitchers certainly know this. Like, I'm not saying that the younger guys don't, but I feel like they have more of a feel saying, hey, like, this pitcher or this pitch has a lot of drop to it. You know, my curveball's really dialed in today. So it's one of those things that I guess he knew it. And it's good that he had the faith because he did turn it around for a nice performance.
I think a good example of that is, who was the guy, was the Blue Jays pitcher, it'll hit me in a second, who gave up that monster shot to Aaron Judge when he just turned on an inside pitch on an 0-2 count.
Louis Varland.
And he was saying afterwards, like, that was a great pitch. I don't know what to tell you. And then the actual stats bear that out, where there had been more than 500 pitches this season on an 0-2 count where a pitch was coming that inside against a batter at the plate, and none of those pitches had been hit out of the park. But of course, who hits it out of the park? It's Aaron Judge. So it doesn't mean that Louis Varland didn't have his stuff. It's just that, yeah, guess what? There's one guy on the planet who can hit this pitch, and it just happens to be arguably the best hitter on the planet, or certainly up there. So it just does happen on a regular basis, and I love that Bieber calmed down and had confidence in his stuff, but there are just a handful of guys that can sometimes turn what looks to be something innocuous into something momentous.
Right, and that's what you get at the top level of things. Like, this is the top 0.0001% of baseball players in the world, and we're talking about the postseason. There's only 4 teams left. So it's one of those things where sometimes it feels like if these players are locked in, there's just no stopping them. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking ahead, and I know we're not talking about the Dodgers game yet, but, like, those first 2 games of that series, nobody was hitting Yamamoto. Nobody was hitting Blake Snell. They were that dialed in that it just felt like the Brewers didn't really have a chance. But lucky for them, those 2 guys are not pitching tonight. So we will talk about that later.
We absolutely will. So Seattle now has a 2-1 series lead. And if you have that lead in a playoff series, you still go on to win 71% of the time. Get game 4 tonight in Seattle. How do you feel about the Mariners? We talked a lot about the performance of the Blue Jays. You still feeling okay about the Mariners now? Because I still feel like it's Seattle's series, but man, that was a statement by Toronto.
Well, I don't feel great about my instincts. The fact that I thought Seattle was going to win this game, they lost 13-4. So it's almost very similar to a pitcher that gives up like a moonshot home run. You're like, okay, do I have my stuff today? So, yeah. Jenks, I am not so sure about this series. I think we do maybe have a good series in store, but Seattle certainly has the advantage, and the numbers bear that out.
Yeah, Max Scherzer on the hill tonight for Toronto. Luis Castillo taking the bump for Seattle, and the Mariners a short minus 125 favorite. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the Dodgers and Brewers series coming up later in the show. Coming up next, the Jags ramp up the workload for Travis Hunter. But why now? To the NFL we go next on the Daily Tip.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is it Thursday? It's Thursday. Good to have you with us on the Daily Tip on the MGM Network. Oh, good news around here. The fire alarm has stopped. Thank God. Coming up on the show, the Jags want to get Travis Hunter involved while sending a message, perhaps, to one of his teammates. You ever had a job where you're in a building, or maybe you're just in a building, and there was a fire, and you had to evacuate? I will say that, okay, this is over. No more flashing lights. Thank God. I was getting a headache, honest to God. The sirens are off now, so it's smooth sailing from here on out. But you know how it is. A lot of times this happens so much where you become a little numb to it. It's almost like crying wolf, right? Because I could hear these sirens. I could see the lights as I was walking in. Like, potentially, this could be a burning building. I'm like, I'll go inside. I'll probably take the elevator. Like, what if there was an actual fire? I'm like, dip, 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 who cares? But sometimes there is an actual fire. Have you ever been in a situation where there was
an actual fire?
Or you had to evacuate a building?
Oh, no, I've never been in an actual fire, but I think we've been in like 1,000 fire drills, right? So the building that we used to live in downtown in Nashville would have this all the time. Like, I don't know if it was drills, if it was like crazy people pulling the fire alarm or something, but like we lived on the 20th floor and they're like, please evacuate now. And you're like, man, I just got in bed. Like, no. Like, so me and Jake would lay there for, like, 15 minutes. And we're like, okay, we'll see if it stops. If it's still going in 20 minutes, maybe we'll start to make our way to the exits. But we would literally just lay there. It's the same thing that you said. It's like crying wolf. They did it so many times that I was like, I am not trudging down 20 flights of steps for you guys to be like, oh, it's a drill. No.
No, I don't blame you. Also, I've got an escape plan if I need it at our condo. Because I always think, what if there's an actual fire? Like, and we can't, because it's two levels, right? So we have the upstairs level, which is where our bedroom is, and the deck, and then downstairs is our living area. And I thought, if there's a fire downstairs and I can't get out of here, which is my biggest fear, how are we going to escape? But now I have an escape plan. I'm like, we get out on the deck, we can get on the roof next to us, and based on the roof next to us, we can get off and down and on the ground. That's my biggest fear, is like fire. Like, it absolutely scares the bejesus out of me, which is amazing that I walked in here, but I didn't think this place was on fire. But still, that's the one thing that I get really kind of dicey about and worried about.
I feel like you need to get like a rope ladder or something, right? That you can just like put on the top of your deck. Because I was personally imagining that you had like this elaborate like zip line set up like in Home Alone. I don't think you've seen that movie, but like something that like an 8-year-old boy would think of, where it's like a system of pulleys and levers. And I was like, wow, I can't wait to hear about this. So maybe that's what you should do this weekend.
That's what I'll do this weekend. Well, I got an assignment. Find a rope ladder and install it. We'll see how that goes. This quote yesterday that I saw... out of nowhere. This is so funny. So Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon was a quality control coach for the Falcons back in 2007. And at a press conference, just randomly, he was asked this question and gave this response.
Coach, how early in your career did you have to start trying to figure out how to take the emotion out of coaching as far as when you have all these injuries and you have all these different pieces? When's the first time that you can recall that?
2007, when our quarterback went to jail.
He's talking about Michael Vick, you know, but that's such a just a deadpan response. When did you learn to take emotion out of this? When our quarterback went to jail. And the funny thing about that quote is if you wait a couple seconds at the end, you hear the media guy for the Cardinals go, "Okay, coach, thank you." Coach, thank you. Didn't expect that. That's very, which, I mean, it makes sense because I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL and not be emotional on some level, but maybe there does have to be some sort of separation there. And I think that's what he was pointing to, which is, yeah, you care and you're emotional, but at the same time, you have to understand maybe you do have to have a bit of space there because you never know what's going to happen. But what a reference, man. Michael Vick catching strays.
Well, most time your quarterback is not going to go to jail. Like, that is not a normal thing in the
generally,
NFL.
No.
At least we're hoping not. But it's crazy to me how quickly he said this. Like, yeah. This must be such a core memory that, like, it's always present in his mind because, like, 2007's not, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like, this has been a while since Mike Vick went to jail. So the fact that he already had this, like, locked and loaded and said it so bluntly, like, that's the crazy part to me. This takes up a lot of space in his brain.
Yeah. It's like asking a former USC or Bills coach, when did you learn to take emotion out of the game? When our former running back killed his wife and a waiter, that's when. You're like, oh. OJ? Okay. Like, those are extreme examples. Do you know what I mean? Extreme examples. I think on the whole, to your point, this isn't something that happens, but that's something that just sticks with you and kind of hits you in the face. Like, well, I'll never forget this. But all obviously at the same time, you know, those examples you can probably count on like one hand. You know what I mean?
Right. But I do think it offers some perspective because like, especially in sports, I think we're like in this bubble where like the biggest deal is like somebody fumbling on the goal line. You know, and in the grand scheme of things, that's not like the biggest deal in life. You know, like if somebody goes to jail, that is an absolute like tornado of things that is happening, right? Because you think about the guy as a human first, you're like, oh my God, like he's going to prison. You know, this is going to change his life in a huge way. And then you think secondly, you're like, oh, well, I have to have a game plan this week. So it's just one of those things where you always think that like, you know, day-to-day life, say something like inconvenient happens. You're like, oh my God. Like I set this to the wrong location. Jenks, I did a grocery pickup yesterday and I did it to the place that was 30 minutes away from me. So
what?
I had to drive 30 minutes in traffic and it feels like one of those things that just like ruins your day. But like in the grand scheme of things, like that's not a life ruiner. But in the moment, it feels like it. But sometimes you need perspective. So like you look on somebody's page and like, I haven't seen my husband in 8 months because he's deployed. And you're like, wow, maybe I shouldn't complain about driving 30 minutes to Publix.
Also true. You know what I always think about when it comes to these, oh, wow, this is more than just a sport sometimes? Do you remember Ray Carruth? Probably not.
It sounds, is he with the Panthers?
He was. So
yes,
the reason why I
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason why I remember this is the first highlight I ever did when I was in TV. It was a Ray Carruth highlight, or one of the first ones, because he was unbelievable at Colorado. He was an All-American speedster. Then he goes to the Panthers and then convicted of conspiring to try and murder his pregnant girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, because that highlight just stood out to me because, you know, you're reading highlights for the first time. It's so exciting. And I was like, oh, my God, this Ray Carruth highlight. I think I read it pretty well, that kind of thing. And then later I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not good. You just never know in the NFL. So you have moments like that that stick with you, and that one definitely stuck with Jonathan Gannon going back to 2007. So on a lighter note, Chelsea, guys who aren't committing crimes. They're just playing football. That's it. Just playing the sport. Travis Hunter. So he hasn't played a lot of offense this season. Been stationed primarily at cornerback. Has had some offensive run. But Liam Cohen now says that he expects to see Travis Hunter more frequently on offense for the Jags, who play in London this weekend against the Rams. Cohen says this, quote, scheming him open is part of it. Our job as an offensive staff is to make sure we're putting him in the progression and putting him in the position to be the number one option a little bit more often in some ways. This season, Hunter, 20 receptions for 197 yards on the season. And right now, for Hunter to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, he's 100-1. So I sort of get this when you're talking about the NFL. As amazing as Travis Hunter is as an athlete, and he is otherworldly, it just really takes time to learn two different schemes offensively and defensively and be adept at both immediately. So I like that they sort of started at his natural position at corner and then are saying, okay, now let's work you into the offense. This is going to help Jacksonville.
Oh, it should, especially with the fact that Brian Thomas Jr. can't seem to catch anything.
God.
You know, because I feel like if that wasn't an issue, this would not probably come to the forefront so soon.
Yeah.
But like BTJ, every time I see a highlight of him, it's just like a low light, and it's just a ball hitting him square in the hands, and he drops it. And this is a receiver that had really high expectations. So you have somebody who you drafted really high, and it feels like it makes a lot of sense. You're like, okay, well, we do have another weapon. His name is Travis Hunter. Maybe we'll use him. And
yeah,
it does feel like it's a good way to get him involved like a little bit later on in the season. And I do think he's a smart guy. It's just a lot to learn, like you said. But I do think BTJ has something to do with this.
He has a lot to do with it. That was one of those read-between-the-lines takeaways that I got from reading this story and looking at it, is that even last week, like, BTJ had another instance of going across the field and kind of pulling up a little bit because he doesn't want to get hit. You know, like,
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you're dropping the football. Okay, you got the dropsies. It happens to the best of receivers in the NFL. You shouldn't be dropping the football, but okay, maybe you cut him some slack. The bigger issue is he doesn't want to get hit. If you're a number one option in the National Football League, you can't be afraid of getting hit. In fact, if you play any position in the National Football League, number one option or no, you can't be afraid of getting hit. Like, one time, okay, maybe. But you've got to go across the middle. Like, teams are going to know if he comes across the middle, lay him out, or just give him the threat of contact, and he's going to pull up. Like, that's a terrible look for a receiver. I play in the National Football League, but I don't want to get hit.
He needs a pump-up speech from Cam Scataboo, right?
Like, yeah.
He needs, like, a little bit of that mentality.
Right.
Because you're right. Like, as soon as people see this as a weakness, they will start to manipulate it in their favor. Because they will start going after him even more, and it's just, it's not going to end up well for Brian Thomas Jr. in this situation. So it's a sad situation. I hope he figures it out. Just for the case of all the fantasy football people who told me, oh, BTJ is going to absolutely explode this year. He has not exploded. In fact, he is imploding, I think is the word that they should be using when talking about BTJ.
Yeah. There's sort of, you know, dual reasoning here, which is, okay, Travis Hunter is a superior athlete. Let's get him involved. And also, we're going to need him because this number one guy that we're supposed to have doesn't like contact. It's just a bad label to have in the National Football League. I think you're right about Cam Scataboo. Have Cam Scataboo come in for a weekend and teach this guy. You know what? Cam Scataboo would be like, follow me. BTJ would be like, where are we going? Right here. And BTJ would say, this is just a concrete wall. And Scataboo would say, I know, I want you to run into it 50 times in a row. Here, I'll show you. BTJ would say, well, you're bleeding. Cam Scataboo would be like, I know, do it. Okay. Just two opposite guys.
I feel like it would be like one of those montages from like a 2000s movie where they take him to like the batting cage. And he just sits there and, like, takes, you know, baseballs to the chest. And then it's like a montage from Dodgeball. It's like, You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a football. You can dodge a hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely needs some of that like old school approach, like just to toughen him up a little bit.
Yeah. Also, Rams and Jags are in London this weekend. So the Jags are, is that right? The Jags are laying 3? Yeah, they are. We'll handicap
home crowd.
The game. Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's Jags territory, London. You're it's in Jags country maybe. Now. You're not in England. You're in Jags country. That's where you are. Oh, that's a good call. I'd forgotten about that. How they just love the Jags over there, which is just crazy.
But they're favored in this game? Like,
yeah.
What are we missing? Is there a big injury that I have not seen? No, the Rams are laying 3. Rams 3-point favorites.
Rams 3-point favorites? Okay. I'll say this. I would lay it with the Rams here. But these London games.
You thought about it.
I was like, if I'm getting 3, I'm definitely grabbing. I don't know. You know what I wonder, too, when it comes to games like this, is that, you know, it's sort of common knowledge in the betting space that home field advantage is worth 3 points, right, in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So is this really considered a 3-point advantage for Jacksonville playing in London because they love the Jags? Like, is this a coin flip game on a neutral field? Is that really part of the handicap here because it's London?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that the odds makers would give the Jags any type of home field credit. I feel like this has just been the running joke in the NFL because the NFL makes the Jags go to London so much that they should be used to it, but it's still not their home field. Like, they still have to go, you know, on a transatlantic flight.
Yeah, that's true. Whew, man. We got murder in the NFL in a segment. How about that? Coming up next in the show, before Week 7 gets underway in the league, we'll tell you which teams are now in the top 5 in our new power rankings. Maybe a little shakeup in store. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Appreciate you waking up with us. Coming up on the show, our power rankings switch up in a big way after the Bills drop 2 straight. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was having a couple drinks at the local watering hole, because I walk in and my guy Daryl is a Commanders fan, so he was unhappy. It was like walking through a gauntlet of the NFL. And then my friend Andre is a Cowboys fan, of course, here in D.C. They're everywhere. So he was talking a little smack about this weekend's game. Then I go to the bar, and Chris is a Broncos fan. And he's like, yeah, you know, I mean, we gutted it out, but our defense looks pretty good. Defense looks pretty good. We're coming along. And then over comes Pat. He's like, what's going on, Jinx? I'm like, not much. How you feeling? He's a Bills fan. He's like, I don't know, man. We got some problems. So it's just like, bam, 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 bam. That's where I get my NFL knowledge, honestly. I don't read anything. I don't watch the games. I just listen to people in the bar. But it's always interesting to gauge the moods of different people based on the previous week because everyone's so reactive. It's kind of crazy.
Well, first of all, a Cowboys fan should not be talking trash to anybody, right?
Yeah. And he's not
like,
really...
what ammo is he using?
I should take that back. He wasn't really talking trash. Andre's a really good dude, but he was just sort of talking up the Cowboys like, I think we got a shot, man. Got a shot. I was like, well, you might. Yeah. They might. Commanders are favored by 2. And defense...
Oh, you mean in Washington. This... Okay, in the next game.
Yeah,
I was
the next
like,
game.
The Cowboys
yeah.
keep losing. Like, they have scored
the
a lot of points, but... they just lost to the Panthers. So I don't know if that's ever been a great building block for talking trash. Normally it's not.
Also, the total in that game, because I'm a psycho. I'm so ready for the weekend. I was doing all my handicapping yesterday, all the NFL games, all the college games, trying to get that out of the way. And I did not realize that the total in the Cowboys-Commanders game is 55. It makes sense, and I would still bet on the over. Like, I think that game is going to be absolutely wild on Sunday.
I'll wave a fond farewell to the Cowboys totals and my pick sixes. Because, Jenks, I think I've played Cowboys overs, like, the last 3 weeks. And they've all been hidden. And they've been high. Like, last week, I think it was maybe in the 50s. It might have been 49. Okay. But we still got 57 in that game. So, like, that's the thing. It's like, it is the perfect recipe for overs just simply because the Cowboys sling it. Like, Dak Prescott is actually having a decent year. And so when teams throw the ball, obviously it takes less time off the clock. And then their defense is so bad. Like, it's been almost an autoplay playing every single number one wide receiver who goes against the Cowboys. So if the Commanders want to sling it, they certainly can against the Cowboys. I know 55 is high, but I would not be shocked if it still goes over.
Yeah. We're going to handicap all these games tomorrow, by the way. So we do that each and every week on Friday. And then also we have a great slate in college football this week. Last week was pretty good because Texas beat Oklahoma. But this week we get more top 25 matchups, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Until then, we focus on the NFL and the teams that we think belong in the top five.
Jinx and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
It's a power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever.
Here we go. Now we're going to see a shakeup. I mean, there's all sorts of great storylines now. The Bucs are really good. The Colts are actually good. How do we feel about the Bills? How do we feel about the Eagles? You know, what about the Chiefs? So you can do a lot if you're ranking the top five teams in the NFL right now. So let's start with you, Chelsea, because normally, which would sort of make sense, right? Start of the season, these power rankings are very similar. But now we're seeing some real disparity between what we think. So let's get it rolling.
I feel like in the first few weeks of the season, there was like some carried over respect from like the previous season where you're like, okay, you know, maybe the Eagles look bad, but they still command our attention and our respect. It's almost like the AP top 25 in college football. Some teams just enter the season without proving anything just because of their pedigree. So now it feels like we're at a turning point in the NFL season for me to where some of those teams, we're not living on borrowed respect anymore. You have to perform and put out the numbers for me to put you in my top five. So we have a new number one for me. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Bucks. They're sitting at 5-1, have a top six offense, a top five run defense, and a quarterback playing at an MVP level. I don't know if you've been seeing what Baker Mayfield has been doing, but he has a very solid case for being the best player in the National Football League right now, and he doesn't even have most of his top receivers. So once those guys get back, once Mike Evans gets back, which it probably should be this weekend, once Chris Godwin gets back, it should be an even better offense. Number two, we're going to go with the numbers team, it feels like so far this season in the NFL, and that's the Colts sitting at 5-1. Most points per game, fourth fewest points per game on defense. This is a complete team, and I can't believe that Danny Dimes is at the center of it all, but they deserve some respect. Next up, we're going to go to the Lions sitting at 4-2, second most points per game, veteran quarterback. They also get back some defensive players this week. Alan McNeil on the defensive line has been really good for them over the past several seasons. He should be back for this week's game against the Bucks. Then we're going to go Patriots 4-2. With what we've seen from Drake May, this defense, and the fact that they beat the Bills head-to-head gets them to number four on my list. And then rounding out the top five, I'm going to go with the Bills at 4-2. Quarterback play still matters a lot to me, and I'm not looking at the past two games and saying, okay, Josh Allen is officially broken. He's not broken. This is still a great team. They're at number five instead of one for me, simply because their defense has presented itself as a problem this year. But this is still one of the best rush attacks in the NFL, averaging 151 points per game, and they still have Josh Allen. So that is the top five for me.
Very nice. So unlike you, I do tend to give teams more credit for what they've done previously. And so you can look at it one of two ways here. So I'm going to start with five. I'll work my way up. I'm going to start with the Colts. And I feel like the Colts are right there. And maybe they should be ranked higher. They're number two on your list. I understand that. This has to do with what we've seen previously. Like, aren't the Colts the surprise team in the NFL? I know the Bucs are doing great, but it has to be the Colts, right? Nobody expected this. Right?
Right.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I think it's a strategy and, like, a theory thing to where this is, like, the same reasoning where people are like, why isn't Indiana the top team in college football? Right? You look at their wins and their resume, and it's just simply because they didn't start the season out as the preseason number one that they have to work their way up. And part of that feels flawed to me.
Yeah, I get that. Sometimes you have to establish that reputation, particularly in college football. Like if you're a program who, you know, who has sort of come from nowhere, like you have no history. I mean, your history is just we lose all the time. We're a doormat. And all of a sudden you start winning. Like our history is we suck. Yeah, we lose. That's what we do. Come on down to Indiana and lose with us, and then we'll get ready for basketball season. So it does take some time to sort of lend credence to the idea, okay, this is really a good team. No, really, really. Feels like the same way with the Colts. Number four, the Eagles. God. I'm looking at this now and being like, what was I thinking yesterday? I was tired. But I do feel like, and this is a theory that's going to run out of steam very quickly. They have the talent. It's right there. They have it. Can they turn it around? We're still talking about the defending world champions. And, okay, bad loss against the Giants. So they're kind of discombobulated right now. But remember, mid-season last year, Nick Sirianni was chirping at the fans. A.J. Brown was unhappy. They put it together. They go on a run. So I'm not going to count them out just yet. Number three, the Bills. Bills. Go, Bills. We're with you. Fight, Bills. They're still Buffalo. I saw Nick Costa say, if you're betting on Buffalo to win the Super Bowl, you're stupid. Nick knows more than I do. But I'm not betting on them to win the Super Bowl, but I'm not counting them out just yet. So it's still Josh Allen. He's still the reigning MVP. Yeah, they're leaky defensively, but they're going to have a week to kind of get right, get things together, get healthier. They lose again. Bills are dropping out. Number two, the Chiefs. I cannot believe a team that is 3-3 is number two. But man, Rashee Rice is returning. They got better as soon as Xavier Worthy got back in the lineup. And the Chiefs look like a team that is just a little pissed off right now. Like, all right, we struggled early, and you counted us out. But here we are, and now we're going to go on a run. And I believe they get the Raiders this weekend. That's going to be a dub. God, I hate saying it, but watch out for Kansas City. And then number one, I'm going with Tampa as well. There's so much to like about the Bucs, and the thing that I like the most is they're performing at this level, and they're only going to get better if they can get right with their receivers, and they should be able to. Like, yes, they have some injuries right now, but potentially here in the next 4 or 5 weeks, if they get healthy and everyone gets right, because Mike Evans is probably going to return this weekend, then you get Evans, then you get Godwin, then you get Ebuka. And then you get Bucky Irving back. And then what is that offense going to look like paired with that very stout Bucs run defense? So Bucs number one as well. That's where we agree.
Ah, I feel like if this was a college football poll, people would be throwing tomatoes at you. They would say the Chiefs at 3-3 at number two on the list. Because, like, I don't disagree with you that they're one of the best teams in the NFL. It's just, I find it hard to give them credit when they're simply just not winning the games. You know, like, I think one more week, and maybe if they pull, you know, even with some of these other teams, it's just, I don't know. I think it's whatever theory that you bank on, because yours is more of like, hey, these are the teams that I respect. And it's like, what teams do you think have the best chance to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is just kind of what you make of these rankings.
Well, and also, the difference between this and college football is if you are a three-loss team, you're probably not making the college football playoff. But in the NFL, all you got to do is make the postseason. You can have five, six, seven losses, but if you're in, it's a new season, and you probably will get in if you're Kansas City. Like, Kansas City's getting a dub this weekend. They're hosting Las Vegas. The question is, will they cover the number? So they will be at 4-3, and I think they're getting that momentum. Can't wait to see Rashee Rice back in that lineup. Coming up next, time to look at tonight's Thursday night football game, and if we like anything in the prop market, Bengals, Steelers. Hour 2 is coming up next on the Daily Tip. Great to have you with us on a Thursday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.